Welcome to episode 113 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast, recorded live on February 1st, 2019. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. Today, we dive into the latest Office 365 and SharePoint Online updates, including access to mega menus and hub sites, and new options for footers and communication sites, new options for security baselines in Intune, and how to use the Graph Security API with Azure Logic Apps, Flow, and Power Apps.
Oh, happy Friday, Scotty.
Is it another Friday? We made it again?
We made it again.
Another revolution around the week.
Yes. Only 50 more to go this year?
Yeah. No. I mean, we're getting there.
Right? No, it's 52 weeks. We got like 48. I don't know.
643 days until the election. Start counting now.
I do not want to go through another election. And we are not talking about politics. I am dictating. I'm a dictator. That we are not talking about politics.
I just wanted to put that out there and put that in your head before you, give you something to perseverate on for a little while.
However, I am building a wall around my house that my neighbor is building. No, I'm not talking about politics. A fence around my house built by my neighbors.
Does it have steel slats?
No. It is wood.
And can you... No, we're not going to do it. Not again.
No politics. Instead, we're going to talk about Azure AD. No. Azure AD going down again.
We could. Yeah, they should build a wall around Azure AD just so it stays up.
Oh, this Friday is deteriorating quickly.
Yeah, no, there was a little bit of an outage this week with Azure AD. It was a DNS outage, a level 3 kind of CenturyLink thing, I believe.
Yeah, I did not get affected by it. I just saw the outage reports.
You must be stuck with, you do what, like Comcast at home?
Yes, I am on Comcast.
Yeah. And do you use Comcast DNS? Like you haven't mucked with your router or anything?
Oh, no, I have most definitely mucked with my router. I think I'm actually using OpenDNS right now.
Huh. I know like most Comcast, their DNS is horrible, right? It just takes them forever to pick up any change anywhere in the world. But yeah, like OpenDNS, Cloudflare, Google DNS, things like that, they tend to actually respect like TTLs and everything else. But yeah, so there was a DNS outage, took down Azure AD, which when those endpoints go down, you can't log into the graph, you can't log into Office 365, you can't log into Azure or any of your cloud-connected workloads, anything that's kind of federated into that directory. So DNS is hard, especially when it goes down like that, right? It's kind of a tough fix, but they failed over to a secondary provider, and we're back up and running. I think that outage was all up from like customer to customer, a little bit over 3 hours.
Yeah, definitely not as bad as some of the previous ones we've seen. Although it was funny, they quit calling it Azure AD outages and now it was just there's authentication problems. It's like, they want to hide that it was Azure AD, but everybody knows authentication, Office 365, something with Azure AD. But yeah, DNS is kind of a big deal. Wasn't DNS one that caused one of the other outages too? Like somebody made a DNS update that broke everything?
There's been a couple different things over time. Usually these are isolated instances where maybe a service goes down in a region, but then it's not necessarily the most globally aligned service. So strange things start to happen. This one, being a DNS outage, did have some... There was some other bad stuff that happened as part of it. I don't know if you kind of followed along with the RCA, but there were some weird things that happened on the platform side. So one of them is customers who consumed Azure SQL, if they were doing TDE, transparent data encryption, the way TDE works with Azure SQL is you go out and you actually configure a key in Key Vault for your encryption key. When this outage occurred, Key Vault wasn't reachable. Because the vault wasn't reachable by the backend said, oh, these databases aren't supposed to be encrypted anymore, so I'm going to drop them.
Wow. I saw a little blurb about that, but I hadn't looked into all the details.
They actually dropped a subset of databases. And then when they dropped the databases, they could only recover them to within the last 5 minutes. So there were potentially customers, and there are customers out there, that they may have lost some transactions along the way to those databases, right? Think about having like an ordering system or something that's highly transactional in there.
Right. Well, and I was going to say, something that you're encrypting like that is usually something that is, it's relatively important information, because you're encrypting it because obviously you don't want anybody else getting to it, seeing it. It's not going to be minor, hey, this is my demo test database that I don't really care about.
Yes.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
That was a big one. One of the other things which I hope they can find a way around, and that's the nice thing about having RCAs on all of these, is they kind of give you clear steps for how they got to where they were and then how they're thinking about approaching it in the future for mitigation. It was not good, right? You weren't able to log into your stuff. That database being deleted thing because the encryption key wasn't there. Ooh, got to find a way to fix that one. The other one was some timing things with alerts, and especially SHA or service health alerts. So there's a backend system that's built in to tell you when things are not healthy, specifically the things you have deployed. And that system also went down as part of that. And when that went down, well, now customers aren't being informed. That's one side of it, right? You signed up for a service to say, tell me when my stuff goes down. And the platform broke to the point where it couldn't tell you stuff was going down. The other part of that was even internal communications tooling was also affected by that DNS outage. So Microsoft themselves, they had delays that were caused by that in even publishing communications out on health status to things like the status dashboard, which the status dashboard, being DNS bound as well, was beginning to have its own issue. And then because you couldn't log into the portal, you couldn't see your messages in the first place, right? There was no way to get on with API or anything else. So all that being said, yes, there was an outage. Bad things happened. Took about 3 hours all up to mitigate, like I said. Now, the good thing about RCAs is you can go into the next step and again see how they're thinking about fixing all this stuff. So for like Azure SQL DB, they are going to fix it. So it actually distinguishes between Key Vault being unreachable versus Key Vault having a key revoked, because those are two very different things.
Yeah.
So they'll go ahead and get that sorted. They're going to do some things with internal communications as well. So it's one thing to have the customer side go down. It's another when your internal communication pipeline breaks down. So go ahead and get that fixed up and get that to where it needs to be. And then from a DNS side, this is a nice kick in the pants. They're going to go ahead and work on getting some of that and what they can pulled off that external DNS provider with Level 3. I think it was Level 3 and CenturyLink for that one.
Yes, that sounds right.
And get them onboarded into Azure DNS. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they will control a little bit more of their future on that one. So at least with like by onboarding to Azure DNS, you know, they've got their own service and SLAs. They've got 100% SLA with that particular service, so they can kind of hold themselves to it. And that'll be nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing too on some of those statuses, I have started following, there's a Twitter handle out there, MSFT, so Microsoft, 365 status. And they seem to be doing a better job at tweeting regularly when there are those outages. So like you mentioned, the status dashboard, they still put links out there to like status.office.com to go get more details. But I've been following that one and I actually set up alerts on that one. So at least now I get notified right away when there's an issue. So that's how I originally saw that authentication issue, was they sent out a tweet that there was an issue, users not being able to access Office 365 services. So that's kind of a handy Twitter handle to follow as well to get some of those status updates.
There is also @AzureStatus, which has the same type of thing. So if you're looking for more holistic coverage outside of Office 365, that might be a good one to follow as well. But I will make sure that both of those end up in the show notes.
Azure Status, you have to be a confirmed follower. This account's tweets are protected.
No, come on.
I'm serious. Here, we're sharing screens right now. Our listeners cannot see it.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
But I will prove it to you.
No. I see it. I just logged into a, or I logged out of my account. Well, I follow that one, so I can see it.
I am pending following that one now.
And then what was that other one? That was MSFT.
MSFT 365 status.
365 status.
Yes. So that one is going to be, that one's going to be all your Office 365 stuff. Not so much the Azure stuff, but Office, Microsoft 365. That used to be, so there used to be Office 365 status. That one got merged, combined, and now it's just MSFT 365 status.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah, we'll get both of those up there. I do not know why Azure status is protected. That's so dumb.
Maybe it is security. They do not want unauthorized people knowing the flaws they are publicly going to post on Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't want you to be able to see stuff here. Just go to our public website, which has RCAs dating back years.
Yes. Anybody that controls the Azure status Twitter handle, if you're listening, maybe unprotected. Maybe they don't realize it's protected. Good times. Anyways, enough talking about outages and bad stuff. Should we talk about fun stuff? New stuff? News. Newsy stuff.
Newsy stuff. Yeah, we're about to get megatastic.
Yes, with mega menus and all kinds of fun SharePoint site change the look type options. So this is one that the blog post went live yesterday. We're recording this on January 31st. So January 30th, they published the blog post that mega menus, site headers, site footers, some of that new customization stuff, new change to look features, we're going to start rolling out the beginning of February. So today, I gave the wrong date. It's February 1 today. Anyways, they're going to start rolling out in February to targeted release. So I actually looked at my tenant, and I already have some of these new features. I'm missing site footers, but I have headers and mega menus. Some of these you can disable too. For all I know, I may have pre-disabled footers or something a while ago, or it just hasn't rolled out yet as these are all probably different packages, different updates. But now if you go to one of your new modern sites, I think mega menus are only hub sites. I don't think this is any other site. Did it say in there? I forget.
It did not say in there. I haven't tried it on any other sites. I was kind of watching you do it on your screen since I ran out of licenses and all my mod demos. I got to go spin up another one.
I haven't either. Maybe I should, let me go try another site. But I know at least on hub sites, change the look. I have themes and headers. I don't have navigation. So this appears to be hub sites only, which is what I was thinking it was. And if you go click the cogwheel now on your SharePoint site, so up in the upper right, and go to change the look, instead of just being able to change the theme like you could previously, you now have options to modify the navigation, to customize the header, customize the footer, and customize the theme. So the theme is still all your standard options, pick some custom colors, but then header, under the header option now, you have the option to do a standard header or a compact header. So for those of you that I know there has been rumblings, grumblings that, you know what, that header in Office 365 takes up a lot of screen real estate. You can do a compact one. It minimizes the site logo in the upper left-hand corner. It gets rid of a little bit of white space. Still a decent size header, but it does give you a few pixels back. Customize the background colors of the header. So a couple of fun options in there. That's where changing the site logo is. And then navigation, you can now pick between mega menu and cascading. So this is in that change the look area is all you do in there is just switch. Hey, I want mega menu. I want cascading. The mega menu is built the exact same way as before, where you just click on the edit on your hub site and then set up your hierarchy over on the left-hand side. So you now have 1, 2, 3 layers of navigation. You have the parent layer, which is what you will actually see across the top. you have the second layer of navigation, which is going to be the headers within your mega menu. And those are just like big, bold headers. And then you have the third layer, which is going to be the links under the header. So there's not a whole lot you can do to rearrange it, to customize the colors of it yet. I'm hoping this continues to evolve.
Not in the panel. You still have access to site designs and all those kinds of things, which, yeah.
Yeah, that's developer-y stuff. I don't do that. I want like pretty colors I can click. But yes, that is three layers of navigation. You can't do a fourth and have like bullet points under a header, under your primary header. But it definitely, I think I like the look of it better than that typical flyout. And it does give you a nice view of all those links. If you are building out some big hub sites with lots of navigation, or even want to include links to other navigation, because again, this doesn't have to be SharePoint sites. You could link out to your some HR system or some timekeeping system that's outside of Office 365, all within this mega menu and the links in there. So kind of a nice, nifty new feature to make some of that navigation, especially if you have a lot of links, a little less painful.
Yes. And they've added some other things as well. So between mega menus for hub sites, they also made some changes or added some new functionality for things like footers and communication sites, and being able to do some customizations there and bring all that, like you said, into that change the look panel or pane or blade, or I don't even know what we're calling these things anymore.
I think the blog post, the official word is pane, but you're right. It's like a blade in Azure. So
it's up, down, left, right, BABA, select.
Yes, it's the change the look section. We can just call it a section.
Select, start.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
One of the interesting things that I noticed about the footer stuff was some of the changes they're making there only apply in communication sites. So if you do happen to do customizations to the footer, they're still not going to appear at the bottom of lists or libraries, because whoever browses to a list or a library, why would you want the footer there? That doesn't make it does make sense. Hopefully they add that back, right? Like intelligent intranets should probably be a little bit intelligent and push your stuff around where it needs to be. And then like you said, you do have the ability to turn off those footers. And if you don't have the option for footers there, you can just turn it off with PowerShell today.
Yes, exactly. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe my hub site isn't communication site, so that's why I don't have any of the footer stuff in there. I'll have to play with site footers or look at that a little more. It looks like they also are giving some new site settings, and there's some updates here around site designs and site scripts as well that just give some of those some additional settings to site owners. I will be honest, I need to spend some time in site designs and these site scripts. It's been on my list to learn more about forever. We should do a whole podcast episode on site scripts and site design.
Yeah, we should find somebody smarter than us to talk about it, though.
Yeah, exactly. But there's some updates there. So there's actually a big blog post that includes all of this. It's the organizing your SharePoint sites with mega menus, navigation, and a new change the look options. So we'll link to that in the show notes if you want to go dive in. It has a high level of all the changes, but there's also lots of links in there around like taking you out to the support articles on how you set up all of this with more details around each of these topics.
Yes, we can make that happen. I can put some articles in the show notes too.
All right. So what other fun news? There were a couple other fun news ones just recently.
There's been some updates to MDM, which were pretty good.
Yeah. So what is going on with MDM?
There are some new security baselines that are coming into play. Kind of like we've talked about in the past with Azure AD and some of the security baselines there. They're just groupings of configuration settings that are kind of Microsoft recommended best practice in really big air quotes, right? Best practice kind of configurations to go ahead and get things stood up and ready to go. And at least start out from maybe a what was a previously tested or what should be a more well-known state. Notice I have couched that a whole bunch. Who knows, right? The other thing with security baselines is if you go ahead and you say, hey, this is really cool. Microsoft's done a bunch of legwork for me. I want to adopt a baseline. Microsoft actually updates the baselines on the regular. So as they get feedback from maybe actual security teams internally at Microsoft, could be product groups, could be partners, could be customers, whatever it happens to be, they'll go ahead and update those baselines over time. So outside of Azure AD, they've actually added a bunch of baselines to Intune itself. So when you go out to Intune inside the Intune portal and you hit your Microsoft 365 device management, you'll actually see new baselines out there. Like there's a security baseline for Windows 10 devices where you can go ahead and just boom, you know, apply that to specific groups of devices and have them pushed out. So that's just Azure AD groups, right? That all that stuff gets kind of pushed and pulled. The other cool thing about baselines is it is a grouping of configuration settings that's put together for you. No one's saying you can't change the configuration setting or effectively kind of like fork that configuration and make it your own, because what's good for somebody else isn't going to be maybe the best thing for your organization along the way. So you can absolutely change or edit the configuration settings that are included in those baselines as well.
Yeah, I just looked in, there's security baselines in there. I don't know that I have these.
You may or may not. They're kind of in the process of rolling out right now. So it's going out in public preview to Intune tenants, and it's doing the rolling availability thing. So when it hits you, it hits you, and then you'll have it.
Yeah, and when you're getting to this too, this is one thing that I was looking at, is it actually shows up as a new menu item directly under Intune. So even though this is an MDM baseline, like the other baselines that went out, I think they were conditional access baselines for forcing MFA. Those actually showed up as like a default baseline policy underneath the policies under conditional access. The mobile device management MDM baselines don't show up under like the device compliance or configuration policies. It actually shows up as a brand new item. And at least the screenshots, since I don't have it yet, have it showing up like right next to conditional access, device configuration. So instead of just policy showing up, it gets like its whole own menu item and that very first level right underneath the Microsoft Intune link in your Azure portal. So don't go digging around through all your policies and configuration policies and all of that for it. Just wait for it to show up as that menu item directly in Intune.
Yep. The other nice thing about these is when they come out, if you do choose to adopt them, is you'll kind of have dashboards per baseline that pop in as well. So you do get nice overviews of saying, okay, I turned on the Windows 10 baseline, and then you go ahead and add your device groups and things in there. So you bring all that in, and then you'll actually have a sense for posture within those baselines as well. So how many machines are in there, how many match or don't match the baseline, might have misconfigurations, or you have 10,000 Windows 10 devices, you only added a group with 2,000 people, so there's 8,000 that aren't subject to it. So you do get a nice sense for kind of posture and positioning of your actual protected devices once you bring those in.
All right. Very nice. So one other one, this one was interesting that I want to go play with it, is some new code-free options to connect with the Microsoft Graph security. So don't think of this as modifying security or like coming from that SharePoint background of actually updating security or leveraging the graph to change security. but more a list of connectors to do things like get alerts based on alert properties or update various security alerts, get subscriptions, update subscriptions, delete subscriptions. It helps with notifications of different alerts or different security events that may occur, not so much actually managing security settings. So this is a new connector that you can leverage in Flow. You can leverage it in Power Apps, Logic Apps, since all of those are kind of tied together when you look at connectors anyways. So this will show up in there to help you leverage that connector in these different apps to be able to get some of those alerts, some of that reporting around security that is surfaced through the Microsoft Graph. It's probably the best way to handle it. And then even do some responses around some of those alerts that occur. Hey, if it's this alert, do this, notify these people. If it's this alert, text these other people. If it's this alert, just ignore it because that's a security alert we don't want to aware about. So it really lets you build some of that automation around alerting, investigations, managing some of those different security events that may happen and are surfaced through that Graph API.
Yeah, you can build, because these are, now we're new to that orchestration engine, that kind of workflow orchestrator of BizTalk in the cloud with Logic Apps and Flow and things like that. So really you're talking about building some, what would we call them, like richer playbooks around these services. So if you want to leverage Graph Security, because it's a connector, there is a little bit of a consent flow that needs to go on. So there is some admin consent for that one. So there is a little bit of wire up to get things turned on. But once you've got it turned on, then you're all ready to go ahead and consume it. And like you said, you can do all sorts of things like get alerts. You can update existing alerts. You can create new webhook subscriptions. So you can actually go ahead and filter down to a specific type of alert. Like, I am only interested in medium and high sev alerts. So you can actually create a custom subscription that then alerts you based on that subscription and pushes things through. And because it's part of that ecosystem of connectors within Logic Apps, now you can go ahead and tie it into everything else. So you're not even limited to keeping this in the Office 365 or kind of M365 or even Azure side of the world. Maybe you have existing ITSM tooling, like you use maybe ServiceNow to respond to incidents in your organization. You know, it doesn't have to just be an email alert. It could be something that actually hooks up to ServiceNow with a native connector, creates your incident, pushes things through for triage and gets you ready to go. So you should be able to build some pretty holistic solutions if you've got maturity within, you know, a bunch of these tools.
Yeah. And this is interesting because it has that Power Apps option too. Like even being able to give, so not all of your IT pros, security, some of those people may fully know how to even create some of these webhook subscriptions or what to do with them. So you could, it looks like in theory, just build like a Power App interface to even manage those webhook subscriptions, whether it's updating them, deleting them, even creating brand new ones to simplify that whole process for those users that may be interested in these, building some of these out. So something that'll be interesting to play with. So much stuff to play with. I need like a year just to learn and stay up to date.
Yeah.
Keeping track of all of this.
As the leading global brand for enabling the Microsoft Cloud, Opsgility's global Microsoft MVP and multi-certified cloud solutions architect team has authored over 20 mock courses, the Microsoft Pressbook Implementing Azure Solutions 70-533, and numerous Microsoft Cloud Practice Playbooks for Microsoft partners. And for a limited time, you can get your team certified in the most exciting cloud business today with a 25% discount off instructor-led training prep courses for Azure and Microsoft 365. Visit opsgility.com/Microsoft Cloud to learn more. That's opsgility.com/Microsoft Cloud. I just want to be clear with this one too, because we talk about it as Azure Logic Apps or Flow or Power Apps or things like that. It's a connector that interrogates and works against an API. And really, we're talking about the features and functionality of that Graph Security API. So it's not just alerts for maybe identity protection for users. That Graph API actually lets you, or it's getting data fed into it from a bunch of different places for alerts. So it's getting data from Azure Security Center, from Azure Active Directory Identity Protection, Cloud App Security is in there. It's got Windows Defender, Advanced Threat Protection, AIP is in there, Intune is going to be there, Office 365 will be there, and even Azure ATP will be there. And then there's third-party partners or ISVs that are publishing in there as well. So today, if you think about maybe combining Azure Security Center and, you know, your next-gen firewalls, like Palo Alto has connector, a feeder into the Graph Security API. So if I wanted to, I could build a Graph solution that builds out this rich playbook with ServiceNow and everything else. And all it's doing is giving me security alerts from my virtual machines and my firewalls that are cloud hosted, which can be really cool.
This is a nice little connector that they came out with. And it'll be fun too to see if they continue to come out with more connectors, more interactions with the Graph API, to build out all kinds of fun stuff. So I think that's it. Obviously, there's always more news we can talk about, but we should probably wrap it up since we both have work to do. Oh, events. There's some events coming up too. We're going to talk about those. We just don't stop talking. So yes, there are a couple, some we will be at, some we will not be at. There's another, I think they started this last year, the Business Application Summit. There's another one of those coming up. We'll throw it in the show notes. It's in Atlanta in June. So if you are in that business apps, Power BI, Dynamics, Power Apps, Flow, this is a couple days you might want to check out. And then in March, there is the North American Collaboration Summit out in Branson, Missouri. And I actually am going to be out there. I think I'm giving two sessions now. It was originally one on some of the reporting stuff in Office 365. I think I'm going to be doing one now on Azure and Microsoft 365, kind of like our podcast episode, only more of a presentation about why Office 365 admins also should understand Azure from an admin perspective and how Azure plays into Office 365 from that administrator perspective. So if you are anywhere near Branson or want to go to Branson, Missouri for a conference, this is a good conference put on by Mark Rackley out there. So that should be fun. SharePoint conference is coming up again as well, which as of right now, I don't think neither you nor I are going to make it out there to that one this year, but that one's out in Vegas, another SharePoint conference out there if you are interested in that. So I think that's the big ones coming up in the next 3 or 4 months.
Sounds good. It's a start.
Yes. Go look at the links in the show notes. There'll be links to all the conferences there. And with that, we'll call it a day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you again next week. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.